bit afterwards when we do.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand.
Right there. Oh, God.
Hold on. Please be quiet. Hey, everybody. This is Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. And we've got two guests today, a great show as usual. We're going to talk about with Jane. Jane, are you there, by the way?
Yes, Jane, beloved Mitchell, are you there? I'm
okay,
here.
Good. All right, good. No, no problem. All right, Jane's going to be on for about 10 minutes, give or take, to talk about. Well, I saw her yesterday at a panel on at the Veg Fest in Los Angeles, and Jane is a noted broadcaster. She does special reports for CNN, but more so, she's been an investigative reporter. She's done great, great stories that other people don't do. She's an activist, and you can feel her activism when she's online, when she's on TV. She's just great, period. And about a month and a half ago, Jane talked about the vegan movement and veganism, and how that is destroying the climate change, because how that is affecting the climate change to make it, and we have some answers to that. We're going to briefly talk about that, but with Jane, we're going to talk about more about the. Hello, okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay, so with Jane, we're going to talk about now NOW, National Organization of Women, how we want to try to get them involved, and how we want to get the activism movement at a strong pace. For veganism, how we need to teach people all over the world, all over the country, about being a vegan, how it affects climate change, etc. Then with Michael Lee, we're going to talk about his new book called Boomers Turning 60, and about how he's got a 10-point plan on what anybody as a boomer, and not just a boomer, anybody, period, how they can live better. So we have a great show lined up. All right, I'm Bobby Elias. This is our show. Let's Create a Better World is all about solutions for world problems. But more so, we're working on body, mind, spirit, aging, especially new breakthroughs in research, in science, to help people live a better quality life and live longer. I'm excited about that, and I've got great guests coming up in the next few weeks. So please stay with us every Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific Time. All right, let's get to our first guest, Jane Velez Mitchell. I introduced her just a minute ago. She is great. She's got a lot of things to say about being a vegan. First of all, Jane, thank you for being here, and you did a great job yesterday. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Always good to see you and to be a part of this. If we change one mind that's listening today, it's worth it.
That's right. I like what you say about that. I'm sure we can change a lot more than one. and I know we will. Especially, and you and I really want to talk to you more and more, not only in the show right now, but in the future, because you've got a lot of, I know you've got a lot of ideas on a lot of things, including what we can do activism-wise for this great subject, because I was an activist in the Vietnam War, and I've always been the forefront, and I've got lots of great ideas on how we can make something big. And I mean big, 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 not just a demonstration or a rally or singing songs or a meeting. No, we're talking about huge, like we did in the 60s and 70s. I was there. I was right in the middle of it. So anyway, your ideas on NOW, the group NOW, National Organization of Women, and how they can help us with the part about getting more women involved in being a vegan and how we can get the movement going. Your thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the issue. We have to expand our circle of compassion. I was at the Women's March and in D.C., the biggest gathering, like you say, Bobby, since the 70s, since the Fifth Avenue Peace Parade marches in the 1970s that I attended as a teenager. Massive, massive crowds. Unfortunately, the circle of compassion ends with humans and doesn't extend beyond that. And what women need to realize is that women's rights are human rights and animal rights. And animal rights are human rights and women's rights. It's all interconnected.
Put your volume up a little higher. It's hard to hear you. A little higher, if you can.
Okay.
Your volume.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but if you can get a little louder, it'd be better. But go ahead.
I'm talking as loud as I can. My volume is all the way up. It's on your end.
Okay, good enough. Go ahead.
Yeah. So luckily I'm very loud, so you'll be able to hear me. So I was at the Women's March. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Well, I was at the Women's March, and there were women who, you know, were very indignant about what was happening, about Hillary's loss, about the groping comments by the now President of the United States. But yet, when I tried to approach them about showing compassion to animals, they were completely shut down. They didn't want to hear it. Scarlett Johansson was wearing fur. Madonna was wearing fur. And Scarlett Johansson even talked about the burden on her shoulders. And as she was talking, she was wearing fur. You know, animals that are likely dogs from China that are skinned alive. I mean, you know, if you want to have the moral high ground, first do no harm. And I was particularly struck by, we went to dinner. We had a bunch of vegan animal activists who are also human activists, human rights activists together. And there was this woman who joined us who wasn't vegan, and she ordered chicken, and then she didn't touch it. And I said, are you going to eat that? And she said, no, you want it? I said, no, of course not. I'm a vegan. But you didn't. I said, an animal died. An animal lived a horrible, horrible, torturous life and died a horrible death, you know, hung upside down by a limb and having its throat slit. And you're not even going to touch it? And it just enraged me, because there is this, you know, and I'm also an out lesbian, you know, in the LGBT community, in the women's rights movement, we want people to have empathy for us. But the mindset that prevents people from having empathy for us, like white male men in power, for example, is the same mindset that women are exhibiting toward animals. It's basically, you don't count. Your problems don't count. Your suffering doesn't count. You're not like me. You're different. And, you know, what the animal rights movement tries to show is that we are all earthlings. We may have different forms, but we all feel, we all experience suffering, and we all deserve compassion. And if you want people to be compassionate toward you and honor your problems and your struggles and respect you, then you need to respect others who are less powerful than you. And the most powerful individuals in this world right now are animals. They have no voice. Last night after VegFest LA, 150 people went to Farmer John's in Vernon, and we held a vigil by Los Angeles Animal Save, and we bore witness to the pigs coming in to be slaughtered. And when you make eye contact with those animals, those terrified, thirsty animals, and you look them in the eye, they have the emotional and intellectual development of three-year-old human children. People just cried. Everybody was, so many people were crying, because it's like, how stupid is the human race? Processed meat, which is how most people consume pig in the form of bacon or ham or hot dogs, is officially deemed carcinogenic. It is cancer-causing to humans who eat it. So we're torturing the pigs, these beautiful, innocent children. That's how I look at them. They're like children. It was like babies. Yes. They are babies. They're only about 6 months old, according to the reports that I've read. And we're killing ourselves with heart disease and cancer, and we're destroying the planet because meat production is one of the biggest causes of climate change. It's the leading polluter of water. It's a huge factor in the drought. Just think about the amount of water all these animals need and how much more efficient it would be to take all the grain and the soy that we feed 9 billion animals in the United States and distribute that food. We would solve world hunger today. And despite all of these arguments, you know, people will look at me, like in the Women's March, and say, well, I care about people. Well, if you care about people, you shouldn't be killing animals, because we could solve world hunger today. In the time that we have been talking, children in third world countries are dying of malnutrition because the first world, us, we are hogging all the resources. Meat production is a Rube Goldberg machine. It's the most inefficient source of food. It's completely inefficient. Imagine how much food it takes to feed your dog. And these animals, the waste, the excrement that they produce is massive. It's far more than human excrement. It's getting into our water system. I mean, I could go on all day. But people who feel this sense of entitlement, that they don't have to consider it, because, oh, I've heard everything. I've heard, oh, because I'm Italian, because I'm Irish, because I'm Armenian, because I'm, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and Irish. People have used both of those ethnicities to justify their meat consumption. So this is one thing they don't realize. People don't realize they're brainwashed. The meat and dairy industry, big food, spends billions of dollars conditioning you to subliminally associate meat consumption with health, with vitality, with patriotism, with sex appeal, with social status, and all sorts of other things. And it's completely manipulative. It's unnecessary. It's killing you. It's creating an obesity crisis, a heart disease crisis, and yet people don't want to wake up. Why?
Jane, let me start. We only got a few minutes. I want to talk about activism. Let me say something first, and I want to hear your take as we finish this up. First of all, we said yesterday at that rally, get-together where you were the moderator of a great panel to talk about being a vegan. It was a super, by the way. I really like the idea of we need a major, major activism. We need to do what we did back in the 60s and 70s and raise hell and get a big organizations like you mentioned now, a National Organization of Women. That's going to be hard, it's possible.
I'll address that. First of all,
Yeah, that's okay. Back in the 70s, I was in the forefront. I put together a big demonstration march, and all for Latinos, we were getting killed way more than anybody, as well as blacks and poor people, as you can imagine, because there were poor people who go to the front all the time. But not only that, but we also started a thing to get mixed out, and we won that one. I started one to resist the draft, and we taught guys all over the country to resist the draft. So those three things, Nixon did not like me. I was on his hit list. I was on his list of five people, and they did try to kill me.
Congratulations.
They came close. They came close. But I've done a lot of things since then. I know how to be an activist at a major, major, high, high level. And my idea on doing this is to get a women's march, to because they're going to be marching anyway against Trump, to get that and get them to be a major part of that to be about veganism. You and I can talk to the leaders
Bobby,
and do that.
Bobby,
your
Bobby,
thoughts.
They have to go vegan first. That's the thing.
Yes.
You can't. It's like slaveholders marching against slavery. This is a consumer issue. People who eat meat are the problem. They're the problem. Those animals, those beautiful pigs, terrified pigs that went into the slaughterhouse, and we heard them go in, we heard them die, and we saw the trucks come out empty. And you can go to Facebook.com/Jane Velez Mitchell, my Facebook page, and you can see the visuals. Don't take my word for it. If you don't cry, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And all the comments are, oh, those poor babies, I'm so sad. But if you're eating them, you are the problem. You are the one ordering the hit. So, yes, I want women to march for human rights and animal rights, but first, they've got to stop killing. They've got to stop killing. They're ordering the hit. We are ordering the hit if we eat meat. So that's the most important thing that anybody can do for animals is stop eating them. Because most animals are farm animals today, with the exception of insects. We've killed most of the wildlife. Wildlife is diminishing. And now most are the 70 billion animals that we rape to inseminate and then abduct their children and then kill them all and eat for food. So it's a rape,
Jane,
abduction,
what can
and
we
murder
do?
Operation.
Jane, what can we do? Your ideas are great. But what can we do to get the world and women and marches and big demonstrations to get this over? What can we do at a high level?
Here's the thing. We need to let women know that none of these animals exist because they're making love. They are raped. Actually, in the cattle industry, it's called a rape rack, where they are artificially inseminated by men who stick their arms right up their private parts and inseminate them with semen that they have gotten from bulls that they've basically jerked off. Okay? So this is a disgusting, perverted violation of the feminine. If you consider yourself a feminist, you cannot support meat consumption, and you shouldn't eat meat. It's a product of rape. And if you consider yourself an environmentalist, it's completely hypocritical to eat meat, because meat production is one of the biggest causes. So we need to get the environmental groups, and we need to get the women's groups together. And it requires a shifting consciousness. No momentary pleasure of taste buds to eat rotting flesh is worth the cost of, this is the biggest problem our planet faces today. The biggest problem. People can talk till the cows come home about climate change, but the biggest cause is what's on their plate. I went to a New York Times seminar on climate change where they never mentioned meat production, and they served pork and chicken afterwards. And we went live and we said, this is absolute hypocrisy. So, you know, just like in the 50s, doctors were promoting cigarette smoke, and they were right. smoking. The reason they were promoting cigarettes is that they smoked, and they didn't want to stop smoking. Okay, so, you know, that's why alcoholics want everybody around them to drink, because they don't want to stand out. The media, look at the commercials, meet Gary Pharmaceuticals. They're not going to tell you the truth about this because they're profiting right. off it. Follow the money.
That's right. Okay, Jane. Well, listen, just take one more minute, last minute thoughts, to tell our people, motivate them, whatever, on what they can do themselves. And we got to cut our side off, and we've
okay.
got another guest going.
All right.
Your last minute thoughts.
The best thing you can do if you're a compassionate person is expand that circle of compassion beyond your dog or cat to other sentient beings. Pigs have a higher IQ than dogs. Just eliminate the animal products from your diet. You know, first stop ordering them, stop proactively ordering them, and then substitute. You know, there's Just Mayo instead of regular mayonnaise. There's plenty of alternatives for eggs. We have even something called, it comes in the form of eggs. And eggs are horrible for you. They're just a cholesterol. They're a pack of cholesterol
exactly.
that's going
right.
to give you heart disease. Stop eating them. That's it. It's that simple. And there's so many alternatives now.
That's right. Very good. Great. Jane, you've been wonderful as usual. We're going to talk to you again. We can do shows on various things like continue the activism for women and for the veganism movement. One day we can talk about lesbians and gay people, if you'd like. I'd like to have you on again.
I'd love
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
Good.
I love
You're
you.
Wonderful.
Bye,
Thank
Bobby.
You.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Wow. In a short while, she comes up with a lot of great stuff. She's great. So check her out. Jane Velez, V-E-L-E-Z, Mitchell. Look her up and check out her videos. And this is really, really good stuff. And she's right on the ball when she says that we can change the world. We can beat climate change if everybody stops eating meat or at least slow down. I don't tell people to stop straight up. Another guest, a guy named Bob Linden, he puts together, every summer he puts together a thing called the World Vegan Summit. People from all over the world come. And there's going to be another one this year, probably in California, either Northern or Southern California. I'll find out. It had all the details and the finishing touches haven't been put on yet. But he says stop completely. I say, wait a minute. I know a lot of people that cannot stop completely. It's like cigarettes. You can't tell them to stop totally. You got to tell them to gradually stop off. So that's why there's a group called Meatless Mondays, where you don't eat meat on Monday, one day a week, and eventually you go more days, and eventually you stop. So anyway, that's the story on that. All right, let's get to our next guest. First of all, remind everybody, that was Jane Velez Mitchell, and my name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World, all about all the rights of all the people. We're activists. We're also into health, big time. We're into body, mind, spirit, research, science, aging, and we have into solutions for the world. We just came up with one right there. More solutions in the world. We talk about GMOs. We talk about wireless radiation. We talk about a lot of things. And I get the best guests on this show. So I'm really happy. We're going to continue this show. Divine Aubrey will be on with me next week to talk about yoga and other ways to, we will also talk about exercise, nature, and a few other things on the show next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. That will be Monday, May the 8th. So be sure to tune in then. All right, our next guest. I introduced him earlier. I'll do a quick intro again. This is Michael Lee on the line. He has got a book called Boomers, Turning 60-ish. And I really like his 10-point plan on, it's a plan for everyone, not just people turning 60, a plan for everyone to live healthier, a better lifestyle, live longer, and avoid diseases. So, Michael, thanks for being here, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm glad to be here.
All right, let's talk about the first thing to talk about is your idea of teaching people over 60 years old and boomers and anybody actually about how they can live better. Let's go over that 10-point plan. Let me get the first one. Read me your first 10 points as I look them up right now.
Well, the first one here is talking about just portion control. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have today is, if you recall when you were young, when we were all young, that when you sat down for the dinner, you got basically a 10-inch plate. You go out to a restaurant today, they give you a platter. The portions are huge. The whole idea of supersized fries, double and triple-sized burgers, you know, extra large pizzas, anything that you can think of. The whole idea in America is more is better, and we just pile it on. And so what we're doing today is we're just eating an enormous amount more of calories than we did 50 years ago when we were young. And so everything is just completely exploded as far as the size of a plate when I sit down to eat. And the expectation that if I am not going to a restaurant and I'm not getting more and more and more food, somehow I'm getting gypped. And I will move on to the next restaurant. So part of this is psychological, that today we just eat more because there is more on our plate. And in fact, if you remember in the old days, Mom always told us, clean up your plate. You know, there are people starving in China.
Yes.
Be grateful.
That's right.
Be thankful. Clean up your plate. Well, now if the plate is twice the size that it was before, why should we be surprised that all the people are twice the size as they used to be in the old days? Everybody has put on huge amounts of weight. And it's killing people because of this enormous amount of food that we consume. And now, because
Michael,
food
let me
the
butt
cheapest.
In here for a minute. Also, you do say eat less portion control. One of the things we teach on this radio station show of mine, we also teach them to chew your food, eat slower, and you'll get full
quicker.
But you have to chew because so the food will go in and go into your system at a better weight, because when you eat too fast, it doesn't go down right, and it causes more problems. Also, ban all junk food from your house. If you could talk about the junk food thing or the other one that I just mentioned, either one, a little bit more on those.
Sure. Well, the first one that you take is very good, especially people who are very, very heavy. Sometimes we live such hectic lives, people just shove the food down as fast as they can. We're always in a hurry. The whole purpose of fast food is I want it, and I want it fast. One of the best things you can do is just to slow down no matter what you're eating, and that is just count to 10 between bites. If I just count 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, or whatever before I stick the fork in my mouth or I take another bite of the hamburger or the French fries or whatever, it just slows you down, and that's a very important thing. And then when I talk about ban the junk food from the house, we just get the munchies. I'm watching a movie. Whatever I'm doing, I'm visiting with you. I'm visiting with friends. The first thing people do is they put out a bowl of goodies, and it's just plain dangerous. Now, one thing I point out there is how important it is habit, habit, habit. It's not about diet. It's about habits. We just get stuck. Everybody has a different habit schedule, but when it comes to food, we just fall into our habits, and there is no such thing as a diet that is going to work if you don't change habit. And if you're used to doing the same thing each day, each week, each month, you're stuck. And unless you can change habit, nothing is going to change.
Let's move to number two. It says here, rule number two, try to eat like a wolf at breakfast, a cat at lunch, and eat like a rabbit at supper time. And also add to that, our body machinery is not working most of the time when we eat junk food. But on those issues, go right ahead.
Right. Well, what happens is, you know, well, Mom always told us when we were young, you know, you have to get going and you have to eat a solid breakfast. The body works just like animals do and so forth. When you start out in the morning, you don't go out and start your car and have no gas in your car. It's just not going to get you very far. The same thing with the body. It works on rhythm. It works on function. And you need to make sure that your body is charged up and ready to go and be able to function. We need nourishment. We need to eat in the morning, and it's the most important. Now, what happens a lot of people is they will grab a cup of coffee or two. They will eat some toast, and they are carrying it out the door because they're running late for work, traffic, and everything else. And as a result, they don't sit down and have a decent breakfast. And so they're in trouble. And then the other problem is we have it in reverse. What is our heaviest meal? People come home in the evening, and they eat this enormous meal. And they're full. They're bloated. They sit down and watch TV. They may read a book, a few chores before they go to bed. And they don't sleep well. And they wonder why they're tossing and turning. And I use the analogy that, for example, if you have eaten late at night, which some people do, they snack while they're watching a movie late at night. What happens is like your car in the garage. You would not leave the lights on, you would not leave the radio on, and you would not leave the windshield wipers on. just going on all night long. Well, that's what happens when the body can't just get rid of and digest the stuff. So at the evening, you want to eat light. You do not want to eat heavy so that you will be able to get a good night's sleep and you will be restful. One of the reasons why people don't have a good breakfast in the morning is because they're always tired. And because they went to bed late, they are always waiting, that slapping that alarm clock. Give me 5 more minutes to snooze, 5 more minutes. And then it is just a mad rush to get out the door out of the house because they didn't get enough sleep the night before and they ate too much the night before. And this is what becomes a problem.
Michael, let's move on. I got a good idea here because we have some other things to talk about besides these 10 rules.
Yes,
from rule
3
to rule 10 is eight different rules. If you could take about a minute on each average, or at least 8 minutes on those 10, just name the subject and say something about each of those 8 rules, and then we'll move on to some other items. Go right ahead.
Very good. Very good. Happy to do that. Rule number 3, it says eat less meat, which is harder to digest. When you eat a lot of meat, your body takes longer time, the enzymes and so forth, to break it down. Now, not everybody can be a vegetarian or a vegan, but this is the idea. People need to move in this direction. And some people, the first thing to do is instead of becoming a vegan, they become a vegetarian. What does that mean? It just means you're not eating meat anymore. But you will eat eggs, cheese, and milk. Now, obviously that's the next step to go into being a full vegan. But a first step is to be able to eat more vegetarian meals, and it's much better for you. Moving on to rule number 4, water. Water is a secret to life. We're made up, half of us are made out of water, and one of the biggest problems people forget if they want to lose weight, and that is to drink water, not coffee, not tea, not soda, not beer, all right, not soda juices, water. No calories, and it's the best thing for you. It's nature. And if you do that, it cuts down on your hunger. The one last thing I'll say about that is where most people get mixed up is they think they're hungry, but really the body is signaling, no, I'm thirsty. And so what they do is they eat and they drink at the same time, and they gain weight. But if you would drink more water, you're better off. Rule number 5, 8 hours of sleep. This is the elixir of the gods. Any beauty expert, any model, any person who's in the public eye who depends on their face and their condition and so forth knows that this is rule number 1, get 8 hours of sleep. Because the funny part here, as I mentioned, says if you want to soar with the eagles in the morning, you can't hoot with the owls all night. You got to get your sleep. Rule number 6, dessert. Talks about dessert should only be followed after meal. We spoil kids. We spoil ourselves. Nothing we like better. That was an enjoyable meal. What's for dessert? Dessert should be saved for special occasions, all right, and should be enjoyed slowly, and if you possibly can, no seconds, because dessert is so easy to abuse. And in fact, some people, they'd just rather eat all dessert. Rule number 7. Try to eat nothing after 7 in the evening. This goes back to what we talked about before, is because your body needs to digest its food, and if you're eating at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, you can't get any sleep. Your body will not just cooperate. Rule number 9, it says if food came from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, try to avoid it. This is the whole idea of anything that came out of the garden, that's what you want to eat. But stuff that was made in a plant, that's synthetic, that was put together, everything from potato chips to snacks and so forth, loaded up with sugar, loaded up with salt,
right.
This is the stuff you want to avoid. And the last one I have, number 10.
Go ahead.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did I skip? I did skip number 8. I apologize. I said number 8, try not to be a snacker. Everybody usually is eating all day long. There's a term for that. They call it grazing. People just graze all day at their desk as they're walking around. They always have something that they're eating and so forth, sometimes out of nervous energy, sometimes out of bad habits. But if you've got to be a snacker, get an entire, try and do as many vegetables as you can. Carrots, grapes, any kind of veggie or a fruit, anything from oranges to apples or whatever, make that your snack. Cut them all up and eat healthy. That's it. And then the last one, of course, so we're short on time, and we can talk about several things, and that is to get a pedometer. Walk, walk, walk. The whole story is they're saying 10,000 steps a day. Now, that doesn't mean you have to exercise and do the neighborhood and everything. You can do that in any type of walk life. A lady who's just going to the mall, you could put 2,000, 3,000 steps just walking the mall. Shopping. Anybody can take the long way out from a parking lot or whatever, and if you're going to the grocery store, somebody's going to Home Depot, you can put on a lot of steps, and by having a pedometer, it keeps you focused on how many steps you're taking during the day, and this will keep your weight down and keep you healthy. It makes all the difference in the world. But these are 10 rules that anybody can apply to. You don't have to be a boomer. You could be 10 years old, or you could be 100, and these apply across the board. I'll say one last thing about boomers here, Bobby, and let you. We'll move on to other subjects. The last thing I'll say here about boomers is that when somebody is in their 20s or 30s, you can get away with murder for your health. You can carry an extra 20, 30, 40 pounds, and it's not good for you, but you can get away with it. But somebody in their 60s, that's why this book is so valuable for people who are boomers. And boomers, by the way, are people in the age group of 53 to 71. That's the boomer generation today. Right. But it applies to everybody. And the whole idea is when you start getting older, it starts going against you. You cannot carry 20 and 30 and 40 pounds when you're 50, 60, 70 years old and still maintain good health. It comes back to bite you in the butt. And what you can get away with when you're younger, it's time to change your ways when you're older.
Right. And you know, Michael, more and more people, there are people in their 40s. Actually, let me go take this back a minute. A lot of people are dying in their 70s, 60s, and yes, even their 50s. But guess what, Michael? Now there are people in their late 40s and anywhere in their 40s that are dying.
Yes.
And or getting a major, major disease. Why? Because of the horrible, horrible lifestyle that we lead. And I'm talking about food, diet, the way we live, the way we, our stress levels, and we don't sleep enough, and we just eat too much junk food, and we don't eat a plant-based diet. We don't do all the things that you just finished saying. So that's that. Now, Michael, if you could please give an overview of your book, and then I have, I want to get into a few chapters that we have. We have at least 15, 16 minutes left.
Sure.
But go ahead and give an overview of your book, and then let me read off a few chapters that I'd like you to comment on, please.
Fine. The entire book is called Boomers Turning 60-ish, What's Next on the Highway of Life? And the whole idea here is that for boomers, when you are in your fourth quarter of life, it's like a football game or a basketball game. You get four quarters. And in my quarters, I break up life in 20, 40, 60, 80, and that's your lifespan. The average lifespan today is about 79 years old. A little bit difference between men and women. However, though, if you hopefully get past 80, we call that overtime because your lifespan is running around 79, 80. And if you can live to 90 or 95 or 100, you have overtime. But most people, that's where your average is going to do it. And when you stop and think of all the people you have lost who are younger over the years, it is sobering that as you get older, that's it. Now, the book is whole. It talks about everything: health, finance, children, relationships, planning, future, trips, what you're going to do with your fourth quarter. The amazing thing about life is that when you're young, we all have it in our head. Okay, school, work, get a job, family, house, money. All that is there, raising children. But when those things are all done and you start getting to your 60s, nobody really has an explanation for how you're supposed to live that last quarter. And this book here gives you enormous amounts of ideas of making it a successful life. Like in a football game, like in a basketball game, what is the most exciting part of the game? What does everybody talk about the next day? It's the fourth quarter because the game is on the line. and you want to play a great fourth quarter and have overtime and play beyond that. So it really tends to focus. It is a wonderful book for reflection and for insight. There's a lot of humor involved and being able to plot down there and to find out if you're on the right road. A lot of people all of a sudden find out, gee, I hadn't really figured out and thought what I was going to do with this last chapter of my life. And that's the basic of the book. It's a GPS map for how you're going to live the last chapters and last quarter of your book, Bobby.
Michael, let me tell people that I've read the book. I breezed through it, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I'm so busy I can't do everything, but I have breezed through it. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it really spells out all the things that we talk about on this show. That's why I really like you, love your book. Okay, for our listeners, we could do this now and at the end of the show. Give your contact information now and also how people can get this book. And how if they have a question or two, how they can get a hold of you. Go ahead.
Well, all they have to do is they can. The book is available through Amazon.com. The title of the book, for those that are there, I'll give it to you slowly, Boomers Turning 60-ish, 60-ish, and it says, What's Next on the Highway of Life? And I'm the author, Michael Lee. All the information they can do, they can go on there. They can read the first several chapters on Amazon. They can look onto there, and they can contact me through Michael Lee Boomers at gmail.com. I'll say that one more time. Author contact is through Michael Lee Boomers at gmail.com.
And we'll read that again at the very end of the show. We've got about 14, 15 minutes left. But okay, Michael, there's a few. I'd like you to handpick one or two chapters that you like, but let me suggest a few, and you don't have to do all these. Just
sure.
if you like one of them that I'm going to mention, you might jump on it. Number 21, sure. Moving On,
yep.
Fast, The Big 65. We have a lot of people that, believe it or not, are 65, 70, 80. Yes. The
Absolutely.
Owner of this station is Gary Null. He's been around for 41 years on radio, so you can guess that we've had guests that are now aging quite a bit. And that's why on this show we talk about aging. Another one is chapter 24, Marriage, the second time
mm-hmm.
around. That's interesting. Number 30, Your Health is Your Wealth. I like that sound. And number 39,
yep.
Friends. You can handpick one or two of those and just whatever you want to do. And any one or two that you want to bring up, take the next 5 minutes to do that if you could, please. And also,
I'll be happy
our listeners,
too.
We're speaking with Michael Lee from his book. And Michael Lee's talking about a 10-point plan and a great book on the highway to living a better life, the highway of life. It's the name of the book is Boomers Turning 60-ish, and Michael's got information on so many chapters on so many issues. Go ahead, Michael. You go on some of the chapters that I just mentioned.
The beauty of it here, for your listeners, there's 53 chapters here. They are very
yes.
short. They're a quick read, and they are profound. They go through each part to really make people reflect on how to make their life the most successful. Let's take a look at a couple that you pointed out here that you were interested in. The first one here says, Moving On Fast, The Big 6-5. People don't realize, but that with the baby boom generation, that 10,000 people in America turn 65 every single day. Now, that's not a typo.
Wow.
That's 10,000 people a day. Now, imagine 1 week, that's 70,000 people. So the aging of America is taking place at an astounding rate, and it would... In 1 year, it would fill up almost 20 different states that would be comprised of seniors just in that 1 year. The whole idea of moving on fast, the Big 6-5, it points out that as our lives move quickly, is to do what you want to do. You want to start a business? Do it. You want to travel? Do it. If there's some kind of mission or, if, for example, like Bobby talks about, activism, do it. The idea is that time is going by quickly, and here's the other factor. If you have a significant other person in your life, okay, and it can be through marriage, or you could just have good friends that you like doing things with, when you turn 65, you may make it to 100 and be hale and hearty and have a wonderful, healthy, good life. But we all know that the life's journey makes so much difference by the people that we surround ourselves with. And if you have a husband or if you have a wife, if you have a best buddy from high school or from college or somebody else that you have met on your walk of life, and they are taken quickly in death or by a chronic illness in which it limits their activities, some of the great plans that you have made are going to fall apart. The trip that you had planned with your wife or your husband, not going to happen if your spouse or if you were going with a best friend or something like that and they can't go. So the whole idea of 65 is don't put things off. And in fact, the best one is the Nike commercial where you have the little check mark and it says, just do it. And so the encouragement here is in the fourth quarter of life, don't waste any time. And whatever is your passion, whatever you want to do, go and do it. All right, Bobby, you have a couple others here. If you want me to comment on, I'll be happy to.
You can do those or do any one you want.
I'll be happy to do it. Let's talk about the one about marriage. The second time around. There are a lot of singles and everything else who have lost a spouse by death or who have been divorced. And many people say there's two categories here. One category is been there, done that, not going to do that again. And if I've lost a spouse or I've had a bitter divorce or whatever, people don't want to go down that road again. And that's understandable. That's acceptable for those people. However, though, there are other people who say, you know, I really like to find somebody special. I really would like to share my life with somebody else. It would be really wonderful to do it. And this gives real good instruction here, and that is no matter what age people are, whether they're 20 or whether they're 65 or 70, people can screw up if they don't walk into a thing. And the whole chapter there talks about how to be smart about it. And the difference is when you're in your 20s, you have nothing. When you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, life is complicated. There are children. There is money. There are houses. There are in-laws. There are families. There's a whole life there. And it's a much, much more complicated puzzle to put together. And many can be successful at it, but this one here is to try and show you to avoid the traps. And I'll just make a quick aside here. We'll go to a couple others, Bobby.
Michael. We only have time for one more. Let's do number 30. Okay. Your health is your wealth. And then I want to take you and I take 2 minutes each to wrap this up, give our last-minute thoughts. But go ahead and take
Very
number
good.
30 right now for a minute
All
or
right.
two. And
let's
then,
do it. Let's do it. Your health is your wealth.
The whole idea
here, Bobby, is if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Your health is your wealth. Now, some people take a look at their bank account, and if they had $1 million in the bank account, I am wealthy. I am set. I am good. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have your health, it's worth nothing. And so the whole idea of your health is your wealth, and it mentions they rhyme, health, wealth. And the reason why they rhyme is because it's supposed to show how important your health is. And so that if you are messed up physically or you have mentally the tragedy of Alzheimer's and some of these other diseases, it is all about your health. Now, you can't change your genetics, but you can change whether you exercise, whether you are eating properly, and whether you're taking care of your body. And that is the whole purpose of number 30, is to be able to understand how important, especially later in life, it is that you have to measure your wealth, not just in money, but in how you feel.
Great. Okay. Now, I'm going to take a minute or two, and you can take a minute or two.
Sure.
Just to give an overview to everybody and give some last-minute motivation on how they can live. I'll give my thoughts. You can add to whatever I say or just give your own 1 or 2 minute thoughts as we close out. And we are speaking to Michael Lee. He'll mention his book and how you can reach him at the end of our next few minutes. So let me start with this. First of all, on this show, we talk about a plant-based diet. And one of the things that really bothers me, Michael, and bothers our staff, and bothers Gary Null and this radio station is this. We have a great show, a great guest or two. We have meetings. I have this thing called the Gary Null Empowerment Group. We have meetings. We show films. We talk. I talk or I get guests to come in and talk. Here's the problem, Michael. I'll have two or three or four people in the crowd that really have enormous problems. And I'll talk to them and I'll tell them, look, you got to get to work. You got to do this. Guess what? They don't. They walk out of there and they go back to eating hamburgers, or they go back to their usual lifestyle, comfortable, bad, ugly way of living, and they listen, and they like what we're saying, but they don't do it. That's the problem with most people. So I'm begging. I'm not begging. I'm going to ask you, those of you that fall in that category, to turn things around, and let's get to work. Your life is so important, as Michael had just said. Let's eat a plant-based diet, sleep better, less stress, less have lots of energy, go to nature, sleep better, just live better, eat more, drink more juices, eat more vegetables and fruits, but try to get organic if possible, beans, legumes, soups. I mean, eat better, live better, and you'll live. You can add 5 to 10 years on your life, and we talk about that on this show, so tune in every Monday at 7 o'clock. Michael, your thoughts for a minute or two, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. The whole idea here is that you want to live a healthy life, and how you feel. There's a good point, there's a line, and I said, if you feel crappy all the time, your life will be crappy all the time. Because how you feel, people walk around all the time with all kinds of disorders and syndromes and problems and going to the doctors and so forth. And if they just took care of their health and how they would eat and how they would exercise, it would make all the difference. You make a very, very good point. The fact is that all people know what they should be doing. They don't do it. 50 million people in the country still smoke. It is mind-boggling. You would have to live under a rock to know that that is the most destructive thing you were doing. But I will come back and finish up here with it. And as far as activism and as far as talking to people, you can talk to 5 or 10 people, and the reality is you may get one. And that's how everything starts and so forth, and one to make an influence on another person. But the idea here is it's all about habit, not diet. Not anything else, as habit. And until you have informed and changed in your head your habits, nothing about your life will follow through and will not make much of a change. So that's the key thing. People have to recognize that they have to change habit, Bobby.
We've still got about 3 minutes, so let's go into your contact information and your book. But please say some of these things and read them slowly so people can get them, because I've got a 75, 80-year-old person listening to the show, and he's having trouble taking the information down, and they do tell me this, then you've got to read slower, please.
I'll be happy to. All right, I will go slower for the few that are doing. The title of the book is called Boomers Turning 60-ish, 60-ish. What's next on the highway of life? By Michael Lee. And the book is available on Amazon.com, and you can go in there and take a look. You can purchase the book on Amazon.com, and you can also take a look at the first several chapters. And if you would like to get in touch with me as the author, you may get in touch with me at Michael Lee, that's L-E-E, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Lee, L-E-E, Boomers. @gmail.com.
Okay, we've got another minute or two. Let's just finish up, you and I.
I'll just give you a couple of the titles and so forth that talks about.
Go ahead.
It just very, very quickly, as I mentioned, there are 53 chapters here, and it talks all about where you are in your life and to make it the best of your life and have no regrets. Do not let time slip through. It's a wonderful book to be able to focus where you want to go in the last chapter of your life.
Right, and I read the book. I went through it pretty fast, but I got parts of it that I liked a lot, and this book agrees with us, with me, with this show, and with Progressive Radio Network. I want you to know, Michael, you're on top of it, because our station and our show are right on the money, and we want to, we're ahead of the curve, because the curve is pretty slow, and the curve is pretty bad in America, especially. People are fat, they're sick, they're dying. They eat too much junk food, they smoke too much, they drink too much, they take drugs, they get anxious, they get stressed. And, this book, and you and I are telling people what to do, and I just hope that they listen to what I'm saying. Take another minute, Michael, and let's finish this up.
I will finish it up, and I'll just finish one. There's one chapter that talks about booze. This is chapter 36. The most unbelievable, and I'll make this less than a minute, the most unbelievable statistic nobody has ever heard of in their life, because I'm the one who did all the research.
Right.
More people have been killed by drunk drivers than all the war dead in all of American history, from the Revolutionary War right through Afghanistan. 12 major wars, we're including the Civil War, World War I, World War II, all of them put together, more people have been killed by drunk drivers than all the war dead in American history. People find that the most unbelievable statistic they've ever heard. And then the last part here for the last 30 seconds, what is incredible about that statistic, and you can read it all in the book, it's all documented, research, et cetera, is that for the first 125 years of our country, Bobby, there were no cars.
Wow, that's right. Exactly.
Very unbelievable good. Statistic.
Well, Michael, you've been great. I want to have you on again.
How booze has an impact on our lives.
Stay in touch with me. As I told you when I met you, I'd like to invite you and help you get to some of the great, great health shows where you'll meet a lot of great people that would love your book. And also,
Absolutely.
There's a big cancer convention in the area where international speakers and researchers come in, doctors, and they come in and they talk about cancer. But it's also an ordinary health show also. And you
sure.
can get 30 minutes to speak, you can get a booth, and you can really sell your book. And you can, and I'll
Absolutely.
Help you.
Absolutely.
And so we have things to talk about, Michael. I like you. I like your book. I like all the information. You did a great show right now. So let's stay in touch with each other on all these issues, okay?
We will do so. I will email you, and we'll be back and forth, and we'll stay in touch.
Yes, let's do that for sure. Email me anytime. Thank you so much.
I will
much,
do
and,
that. Okay.
Thank
you.
We'll talk. Good,
we'll
good
talk
job.
Some
Thanks
more.
Again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye, Bobby.
You're welcome. All right. That was wonderful. I keep telling you, listeners, we have great guests with great information, and there's one right there, as well as the first guest was Jane Velez Mitchell. Just letting you know what we're going to have next week, yoga with Divine Aubrey, our new co-host, who's also a major, major healer. She's all around. That's what I like about her, because I like to think I'm all around when it comes to holistic health, body, mind, spirit, and so many issues on how people can change their life. Many issues of which this country does not endorse. This country is all about pills, all about radiation and x-rays and radiation on their machines. It's all about cutting you up. But we could avoid all these things and we could live longer if we live a plant-based diet, if we live a positive life, and that's what this show is about. So, all right, as I finish up here, let me just say that Divine Aubrey will be on to talk about yoga. If we have time, we may also talk about nature, exercise, and other issues that help you with your lifestyle. You can also, I'm going to give you my phone number. If you have any ideas on what you want to hear, what you want to see, what you like, you can ask me any questions. Call my number, 323-770-1925. My name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World every Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific Time. All right, let me start thanking all the great guests we have, and then we'll have time for a few minutes of our song. I want to thank our New York group of people, Jesse, the PRN director, Progressive Radio Network. And congratulations, Jesse, and the whole PRN staff for being number one in the world. I believe there's three categories. One is social media. Another one is people that call on their telephone. We're number one there, too. And then we're also number one on people that call. They call on their phone. There's one other number one. Anyway, we're number one in three major categories. All right. I want to thank Jesse. I want to thank Kelsey, our engineer. I want to thank Gary Noll for having this station. Then our staff. I want to thank Greg, associate producer, who's working with me closely on a lot of issues. He's from Brooklyn, New York. I know we have a lot of New York listeners. Greg is a great guy, doing better and better work with me. And Greg, I want you to keep staying with us and helping us, because we need you. All right? I want to thank also Stuart. Thank Lydia. They're part of the Progressive Radio Network production staff here in Los Angeles. I want to thank our guest today. One of them was Jane Velez Mitchell. Spoke about the activism and yoga, being a vegan, and how we can change the whole climate change thing. And I want to thank Michael Lee, who just finished up right now with his book and talking about aging after 60 years old. And what else? I have another note here I'm trying to read.
Okay, well, let's keep with that. So I was also, finally, I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in and continue to hear our show every Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Thank you, and on to the song.
Part of God's great big family.